Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for this weekend's UFC main event between Johnny Walker and Thiago Santos. Okay. This is either going to be a standoff or a train wreck. They're my two predictions for you. A standoff because although obviously Johnny Walker won his last fight against Ryan Spann, they're effectively both, you know, potentially on a three-fight losing streak. I mean, although Johnny Walker won that fight against Ryan Spann, he was dropped twice. He was close to being out of the fight. So they could quite easily be in a similar situation. Now, Johnny Walker is coming off a win. He was able to stop Ryan Spann with those hammer fists and elbows up against the fence during takedown defense. Thiago Santos has just not looked the same since he was out after the Jones fight. Obviously, he lost to John Jones. His knees were decimated. He had to go and have a bunch of surgeries. A whole load of stuff was done to him. Then he came back and you know, Glover Teixeira does what Teixeira does to everybody. You know, he gets beaten up in the first round. Then he comes back and you know, puts his Teixeira ground game on them and they can't do much about it. And then the Rakic fight was kind of a bit of a standoff. You know, I remember, I think it was Joe Rogan, the commentary saying, well, this has been kind of underwhelming. And I felt the same because I was a bit disappointed, you know, watching Rakic, you know, come off the Manoa knockout, etc. And also knowing, you know, what Thiago Santos is like as a fighter. I mean, you know, I've always considered both of these fighters to be very similar in the way that they're quite unplanned in their attack. It's quite chaotic. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. When Santos went into the fight against Jan Błachowicz, like, I remember I was octagon side for that one, and I remember thinking to myself, okay, well, Jan's going to play the patient game here. He's going to wait for Santos to lose his patience and come flying at him, and then that's where Jan will take over with his experience and his technical ability. And that's not what happened. What surprised me in that fight was that Santos displayed excellent patience through the first two rounds, and then it was actually Jan that was like, okay, let's go. Third round. And he just ran onto a shot. Santos does have the ability to hang back and wait for these opportunities to come to him and catch people with counter shots. He's also got great body kicks, which if you're fighting someone like Johnny Walker, who relies a lot on head movement and they're quite tall, I think body kicks are a good way to go. I mean, he's stopping people. I think four people with body kicks. You know, it's clearly a valuable weapon for him. And Johnny Walker, he does like to clown in fights a little bit. He does like to have his hands down and stuff. So, you know, swinging for the head is a trap that people fall into sometimes, which plays into the hands of the people that use head movement because, you know, you become so focused on one target. You know, they only have to deal with moving one target. Adesanya is very good at that, making people swing for his head. The issue with Johnny Walker's attack, or the danger of it is that it's very, very quick. It's very powerful. You know, if you think of it was the Misha Serkinov knee that was most impressive for me, because that was one of those moments where he was kind of waiting, where's my right opportunity? And then that spring knee right to the face, it was good shot selection, but it was also good timing selection to know that, you know, to have predicted that's where Serkinov's head was going to be. And that is what Johnny Walker's very good at. He's very good at being in the moment because it's not planned. It has to be flow state. So stepping into a range and deciding what you do when you arrive is sometimes better than flying into that range already having you committed to an attack. The downside to Johnny Walker's attack, of course, is that there are holes in his defense. And because it is so fast and so chaotic, whatever force he's moving onto, he's accelerating that power because he's moving onto it. So in the times when Johnny Walker has been caught and hurt and dropped, it's usually because he's flying at his opponent. And his chin does tend to be in the air. Now, Santos, 21-9 is Santos's record compared to 18-5 for Johnny Walker, but they both bring 15 knockouts each to the table. Very few submissions. Both of them got a rear naked choke, and Johnny Walker's also got a sub. I would expect a submission in this fight to be more reactive than anything, because kind of that's how they both fight anyway. But like I said, it might be a bit of a standoff. We might see these two guys stand in front of each other for 10 minutes and not quite want to commit to anything, because once one of them puts the foot on the gas, the fight begins. And they both move at such a, you know, a frantic pace that there's a you have to consider that that's what's coming back at you when you put your foot on the gas. If Johnny Walker decides he's going to fly at Thiago Santos, Santos then he's going to start firing his own hands and then following it with body kicks, and then that exchange, you know, goes until someone's effective, basically. So there might be a lot of kind of standing around admiring one another. There might be a lot of caution on both sides, partly because Santos has not looked the same since his knee surgeries, and partly because Johnny Walker just keeps running onto people's punches. As far as tangling up on the ground, I mean, like, Santos is the black belt, Johnny Walker's a brown belt, but I don't really think it makes a difference. Like, Johnny Walker's considerably bigger all around. You know, he's the younger fighter at 29 compared to Santos, who's 37. 6'6" with an 82-inch reach, Johnny Walker, compared to 6'2" with a 76-inch reach. Like, 76 inches is not, it's an inch, maybe 2 inches longer than my reach. 82 inches is massive. That's near John Jones, 84 and a half John Jones is. So Johnny Walker is going to look huge, and he's going to be able to fill the octagon and cross the octagon very quickly. If they do tangle up, I don't think there's going to be a strength advantage, because I think they both just burn out everything they've got. So it might be a case of the one that applies more technique than intensity. I just expect this one to be kind of chaos. It's difficult to really predict what's going to happen because they don't know what's going to happen. I mean, what are the basics that they're laying down in training camp? I'd imagine Johnny Walker's working on covering distance very quickly with flying knees and flying kicks. I can't imagine he does a lot of steady technical work. He might surprise me, but I don't picture that. I imagine his training camp to be a little bit chaotic as well. Thiago Santos is an American top team, so he's on the mat surrounded by 2, 3, sometimes 4 coaches. He's got a pad man. He's got partners that are working in takedown defense and drilling with him. They will have bodies. They will have people that are trying to replicate what Johnny Walker does. Admittedly, that is difficult, but they will be trying to. Johnny Walker's fighting out of SBG, so hopefully he's getting lots of one-on-one time with Kavanagh, and he's bringing up his ground game, because, I mean, that is where he suffered against Nikita Krylov. He just doesn't want to find himself being mauled on the floor against Santos, because that, you know, his desire and his confidence to win slips. You saw it in the Nikita Krylov fight, and that was an odd one as well, because that was the first time the UFC had done an event with no crowd. That was in Brasilia, and I felt like that very much played into it. Like, Johnny Walker kind of plays up to the crowd. He wants to perform for the people there, and there were, you know, 20 people there. You know, it was an empty arena. It must have been a very strange environment, especially because they've been considering all week that they were going into a normal event. So I think that may have played into it. And you know, sometimes maybe Johnny Walker's, it's like we talk about people living up to their nicknames. You know, if your nickname's the highlight or the damage, you know, you're kind of going to do that. You know, if your nickname's the zombie, you might have a wicked slick ground game, but, you know, the pressure is on you to walk forward face first. Like, the expectation now of Johnny Walker with, you know, what is it, like a 15-second knockout and a 36-second knockout, the expectation is for him to do something wild. He even injured himself after the Misha Serkinov fight, doing the caterpillar across the octagon. He's there to perform for people, you know, he's there to put on a show, and that might be risky. Against Thiago Santos, I think he's fighting someone he's more mature, he's got a bit more experience. He's probably been fighting at a slightly higher level as well. And I feel like we have seen growth in Santos's game, especially since he's been at American Top Team. I feel like him hanging back and waiting for Johnny Walker to run onto something is the most logical game plan. I think I've said everything. The one thing I want you to keep a watch on, though, is Santos. If he switches to southpaw, he's going to start throwing kicks. It's just, he's very, very left leg dominant. Usually he's orthodox if he wants to punch, but as soon as he switches to southpaw, he's looking for kicks. So that's something I'll be watching out for in the fight. For Johnny Walker, it's what does he throw at him first? It'll be a chaotic one, but it'll be a lot of fun. And this is 5 rounds as well, so, you know, someone's got to be a bit more considered. Enjoy the fights. I'll see you next time.